Our Lord rebuked Simon Peter and called him Satan. Satan means adversary, one who places obstacles in the way of divine grace. St. Peter, who had just been appointed the first pope, for reasons of kindness and compassion, wanted his will done rather than God's will. He did not then realise that Christ was meant to die. The cross was the motive and purpose of God becoming man. The cross was the culmination and glory of the Lord, and it would not be taken from him. We therefore follow not a comfortable Christ, but a crucified Christ, who said, "Come, follow me." And while we are pilgrims here in this world, there must needs be the cross. It's only when we attain heaven do we partake of the risen Lord and the glory. Now Satan tempts us and becomes an obstacle to grace. He impedes God's will being done. We often hear him whisper lies to us in our imagination. One woman, this is a story, while shopping and knowing that her husband and her were saving up to pay for their insurance, was tempted to enter into a dress shop. Step by step, her imagination was leading her where her bank balance could not follow. Giving in, she tried on a new red dress and was most impressed with her figure. Whilst looking in the mirror, she came to her senses, financial sense that is, and said the words of Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." Suddenly, she heard a voice whisper to her from behind, "Oh, it looks so good from back here too." That's the story behind me. Now, in reality, there exists only three obstacles to God's will in life. The first is the biggest and the most insidious, for it lives and breathes with us in our hearts and homes. Do you know who it is? Each morning, it torments me with temptations and illusions, flights of fantasy and fiction. Each day, I must say to it, "Get behind me." Who is that person? That person is ourselves. Yes, we are our own worst enemy at times. There's no need to play the blame game. Just blame yourselves. It's I alone who make those dumb decisions. I make dumb decisions nearly every day. Errors, mistakes. It's I alone that says to God, "My will be done," rather than "Thy will be done." After ourselves, our next big obstacle is those around us. Are they friends or foes? We are so easily influenced by others, for good and for evil. Today, the prevalence of influence is exaggerated, far more than any other era, by the social media before us and the addiction we have to it. There are some people, perhaps not you, who can't go out to a pub or club or dinner and not take their phone and have their phone sit in front of them and play with their phone, use their phone, answer text messages while the real person is in front of them. This addiction is a tyranny, the tyranny of technology. One ought to ask themselves, is it a help or hindrance? The choice is yours. Now, we all seek affirmation and desire to be wanted or accepted, even on Facebook. But at what cost? We need to be careful, therefore, who we mix with, for birds of a feather stick together, and your friends can either raise you up or pull you down. The last obstacle to God's will comes from society or the state. Think of Victoria. In the past, about 50 years ago, our culture was Christian and believed in the Ten Commandments. It wasn't so long ago that every Sunday morning, all the churches were full because people believed in the third commandment. You could leave your shop, leave your bike at the corner shop, there were no supermarkets back then, unlocked. You could go into the shop, come back out, and the bike would still be there. People believed in the eighth commandment and the seventh commandment and the sixth commandment. Well, not so much the sixth. But anyway, we did keep the commandments more so then than today. And families stuck together. People worked harder at relationships. Today we're in a moral meltdown and the culture is no longer Christian. In fact, it's post-Christian. And with that, the state is secular, which means it's atheistic, it's anti-Christian and anti-God. And we have to be mindful that there are aggressive minority groups trying to persecute us and being very effective in that regard. So what do we do? Well, naturally, one must be compliant to the state in those matters that are not contrary to God's will. But when the state imposes its will at the expense of God's will, then we ought to say, in fact, we are obliged to say, "Get behind me, Satan." The one person who did that and was successful in state repudiation was Saint John Paul. It occurred in Poland some years ago when he was the Archbishop of Krakow. In the 50s, he publicly opposed the state and, in time, without violence, won the battle. The matter concerned a new city built outside of Krakow, which would house eventually a quarter of a million people, near the old steelworks. They built new steelworks, and they called this suburb called Nowa Huta. Now, remember, Poland has 80% Catholics, and these people wanted to go to church, to Mass, but the communists, who were utterly secular, hated God, and had designed a utopian city. And it was a very impressive city at a world level with parks and amenities, but they refused to give permission to the church for any land to be designated for religious purposes. The Archbishop called it a city without a soul. They had petitions, placards, they did what they could to try and access council permission, but they were denied. Don't forget, we have human rights, not just to life, employment, health, but also to religious worship. And if we do not worship God, then we soon worship something else. Anyway, having been unjustly blocked by the state for many years, Archbishop Karol Wojtyła, with the people's support, erected a cross on some parkland in 1959. And there he celebrated midnight mass outside. It's cold, it's middle of winter, on that occasion. Threats came before, during, and after this public act of worship, but the courageous Archbishop never flinched. After the mass, the event, the state removed the cross and threatened the church, but then the people just put up another cross, and this went on, this tag team, for many years. Eventually, 8 years would pass, and the state acquiesced and gave a building permit for a church to be built. That was in 1967. But it would take a whole 10 years of red tape and difficulties before that church would be finally completed in 1977. The following year, to the communist dismay, that Archbishop of Krakow became Pope John Paul. And eventually, communism itself would collapse in Poland. The point being, he opposed the state without violence or bloodshed. How did he oppose the state? With prayer, patience, and perseverance. And in doing so, he won. Might we do likewise, and be patient with others and ourselves, persevere, never lose heart, and pray, so that God's will be done, and Satan will get behind us.